Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another exciting episode of the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live from the fabulously fluoridated capital of Auckland, New Zealand, the island change nation in the sunny slave South Pacific. It's not only fluoridated, it's also Fukushima irradiated. And that's good for the economy, because now everybody can get a part-time job as an incandescent light bulb. And my very special guest today is one of my favourite men in the whole universe, and probably in this and the next, Max Egan from Aussie. Welcome to the program, mate.
Hey, Vinny. Thanks for having me on, brother.
Well, you know, I know you're an incredibly busy man in high demand, so I appreciate you actually taking the time to come on, even at such short notice. And indeed, when I posted the guest schedule for this week, you're at the top of the list for people to come and listen to. So I think you've just boosted the numbers for the show. And thank you for that too.
My pleasure, brother. I'm glad to help.
Now, the reason for your popularity is because you offer incredible insight on the world itself. And I was just wondering, what have you really been up to lately? Apparently, David Icke offered you a TV show and a whole bunch of things could be going off, but you don't like being on camera.
Yeah, that's a bit of a problem. I'm trying to figure out how to do the TV show without actually appearing on it. That would be good. I think.
See, I would love it. I would love it if you put the dog hat on.
Yeah, for those who don't understand, the guy who owns the property that I'm living on here has got an old dog suit in the garage here. So it's quite novel, actually, and Vinny was suggesting that I put the dog suit on for the show. But I don't know how that would go down with people. I just really don't know if they had sort of, you know, a dog with a hat on sitting there and telling them what's going on in the world. I don't know how much credibility it would have. So I know about the dog suit. But, yeah, well, it's nice for David to have offered me the show and all that, and I'll probably do it. It's just finding a way and figuring out exactly what I'm going to do, because there's an awful lot involved in producing a television show, especially with me in Australia and him in England. So it's a matter of getting the data to him and all sorts of stuff. So there's a lot of logistics to sort out with that. But it's very good what he's doing, like the People's Voice radio station or the People's Voice television station. Great idea. And take it to the next level. I mean, you know, so much of the world's brainwashed into television. They only believe things that they see on the television. That's what they do for entertainment. So we may as well give them a station that's going to actually give them the truth. And if it's a private station, it's not subject to any of the commercial rubbish and contractual obligations that they have to go through. Well, it could be something that really reaches a lot of people. So yeah, it's good to be involved in it.
Mm-hmm. I do fear, of course, that the nature of the content which people like us produce, it becomes, I don't know, demonizable, if that's even a word, simply by the words of our voice talking the truth. Have you noticed that?
Well, yeah, I mean, that happens. I mean, the more close to the truth you get, often the more you get demonized, but now, if you're really putting stuff out that's just common sense and it's sort of inarguable, then it's hard to do that. That's why I believe I've had so much success with the radio shows that I do and what I do, because I speak in a very common sense, matter-of-fact way, and I just put it out there, put the cards on the table, say, hey, here's what's happening. And it's virtually inarguable. If you look at world from a realistic perspective, and you see all the things that we're talking about and all the stuff that we're exposing on the shows here, I mean, it's inarguable. We've got a bunch of psychopath scumbags that are running the planet. They're basically involved in people farming and human trafficking. They're stealing the wealth of this planet and enslaving the population to a system of fictitious debt. All because they sort of get into office and they write these rules down on pieces of paper and we all think it's law. And it's a trick. It's a trap. It's just a meme. And people are waking up to it, I think, and that's what it's all about. So, I mean, it's common sense and it's obvious that we have severe problems on this planet and everyone's looking for the solution, but they're looking for the solution within the legal parameters constructed by the system. And what I'm trying to point out to them is that those parameters have been constructed to protect the system, not to offer you remedy. You have to step above it because that's the only place remedy comes from. You've got to remember who and what you are. Remember that these people that we employed that are writing all these rules are simply public trustees. And that's the approach we have to take, I think.
I do believe you're correct, and the perspective on this was made crystalline to me over the weekend when my friend Vince Seymour, who's a Kiwi court watchdog, is being sent to jail for reporting a crime.
Well,
he reported that one of our judges broke the law when she made a judgment, he's going to jail for it.
Well, that's the thing. See, this is a breach of trust. It's a clear breach of trust. You know, I mean, even what's happened with the Snowden thing, you know, they're charging him with espionage, revealing the fact that the United States government is committing espionage. So what's going on here? You know, I mean, whether he's a good guy or a bad guy, whether it's a controlled leak or whether it isn't or whatever, I mean, really look at the bigger picture here of what's going on. You know, it's a joke. And not
next?
Only that.
What's next? You charge somebody who reports on a pedophile for pedophilia?
Yeah, I mean, that's where it's going. That's where it's going. People who report criminal activity in government get charged with crimes. And they say, oh, it's for national security. Well, hang on, how can you have national security if you have criminals in charge of your government? If you have people in government who are not accountable for their actions, how can the nation be secure? When they talk about national security, they're talking about anyone speaking out against the government. It isn't national security, it's politician security that they're worried about.
It's irrational security.
Well, you know, I mean, we're the nation. You know, you people who make up New Zealand are the nation of New Zealand. We people who make up Australia are the nation of Australia. We, the people, will not be secure if we have politicians in office who are not accountable for their actions and, in fact, who are committing criminal activity in our name. And that's what's so interesting about this as well with the whole NSA scandal. It isn't just America. It's a lot of nations involved, New Zealand, Australia, England. A lot of countries are involved in this. And what we've got here, we've got Western governments that are colluding to commit criminal activity against the rest of the world, and they're doing it in our name. So the people in the rest of the world, they don't just say, oh, it's the Australian politicians doing this. They say it's Australia doing this. And that's us. That's me. You know, and same with New Zealand. So they're doing it in our name. They're committing criminal activity in our name. And if we report them or question them on their criminal activity, they have the audacity to accuse us of committing a crime. So we have to step above it all. And even with your mate who's being charged, I mean, he needs to step above that and put it back into trust and say, well, if you're going to charge me with a crime for reporting you for committing criminal activity, you need to show cause or you shouldn't be held in breach of trust by the people of New Zealand. Because obviously this is not what we give you people power for. You only get your power from us. And if you're going to use that power to create legislation which is going to remove our rights and enslave us to debt, then I put it to you that you're in breach of trust. And you need to show cause why you shouldn't be taken to an international tribunal and tried for breach of trust and human rights violations. That's the approach we need to take.
Indeed, and the problem is, I think that those options are no longer exist in New Zealand. We've got arguably the world's most corrupt court system, and it's not because our judges are any more corrupt than anything else. It's because they're all related, all of them. I think we've got like 168 high court justices, and like 89 of them, or some ridiculous percentage of them are like first cousins, and. We recently had a bill introduced for judges to declare pecuniary interests so that they will have to recuse themselves on cases where they have a financial interest. And for the first time in human history, every single judge in the entire country signed a document saying that they don't want this legislation passed. Why would every single judge suddenly agree with that in the whole country?
Because they all have interests. I mean, it's commercial. It's
They're on the take.
Interests, mate. It's all commercial court. The whole thing's commercial, even when they give you fines. What I've been saying to people lately is there's a we can step above it all because each of us is a unique perspective of creation. There is nobody like Vinnie Eastwood. You are completely unique. There is nobody who has your perspective, and there is nobody who will ever have the experience of being Vinnie Eastwood. That is a unique thing to yourself, and it's the same for everybody. And what happens is we go to court and they tell us we must be subject to the laws of our peers. They say all this sorts of stuff. You could say to them, well, look, can you identify me by my DNA, by my fingerprints? Well, then according to your testimony, I'm unique and therefore I have no peers. I cannot be judged by the laws of my peers. I cannot be judged by the laws of the general legal system because I'm not part of the general population. I am a unique expression of creation, and I stand before the court in the capacity of sui generis. That's a legal term, sui generis, which actually states your uniqueness. And you could put it to the judge that, okay, if you're alleging there has been a crime that I've committed, then I need you to demonstrate that you have jurisdiction over this vessel, this flesh and blood vessel that I inhabit. I need you to produce for me a contract bearing the wet ink signature of my creator, which gave you jurisdiction over this vessel. And if you cannot do that, then I require this court to present me with proof of claim that you are not part of a slavery system, because I believe this to be a system of slavery. I have no peers. I am unique. And if you believe you have jurisdiction or ownership over this vessel, I need proof of claim before we can continue. If you can't produce that for me, I'm prepared to take this to a higher court and charge you with slavery.
Mm. See, if I ever have to go to court, I'm not going to want to be tried by a jury of my peers. I'd rather be tried by a jury of my oranges.
Well, yeah, that's the thing, you know, or lemons, you know, it's the same thing. It's pretty well lemons in the court or bananas or something like that, I think. But, I mean, look,
I will be tried by a jury of my bananas.
Yeah. But as I say, Vinny, you have no peers. Nobody has any peers. If you're a scientist and you're working within that science community, well, maybe you have peers of scientists. But if you're a person, a flesh and blood human being standing in a court and they tell you that you need to be tried by the laws of your peers, well, you have no peers, not under a lawful perspective, because there's only one law, and that's God's law, which is do no harm. Three words, eight letters, that's it. That's the whole of the law. And if I've breached the statute and you're going to prosecute me for that and put me in jail, well, the only harm that's being done is to me. So who broke the law? You know, and there are no peers in a legal sense to me, because I'm completely unique under your own testimony. Simply by the matter that you can identify me by my DNA and fingerprint shows that I'm a completely unique expression of creation. So therefore I have no peers, you know.
I find it very interesting the way they use words to manipulate people, legalese words that have double meanings, like the word lawful now actually means awful. And if you do anything right, that's when the law comes down on you, invariably. It's so unjust. And I made this point the other day that justice is not a natural state. Like if you're a deer running away from a mountain lion or whatever, there ain't no court to protect you. That mountain lion ain't gonna be charged with murder. You just get your throat cut out and you get eaten. You know, that's nature for you. It's rough, man. And I think human beings, in an effort to separate ourselves from being animals, we've created the system whereby we can have fairness, justice, equality, and protection, and the rule of law. Unfortunately, that system was created and is now maintained by corrupt scumbaggery.
Exactly. There's only justice for them. There's only remedy for them. And justice is a construct. I mean, we made it up. We made the whole thing up. Now, as I said, there's really only one law, do no harm. And there's one rule, really, for living your life, which I believe is service to creation. That's it, service to creation, which doesn't mean service to yourself at the expense of others, but it doesn't mean service to others at the expense of yourself. You know, we're all equal here. We're all of equal value. And we all should be given equal respect. And if you live your life that way, I believe it just works. That's the way I live my life, and my life just works, you know. And the whole legal thing, man, I mean, it's just fiction. And it only provides remedy for those at the top within the legal system. That's what it's for. It's designed to tie us up in red tape and to always be extracting money from us. It's all about commerce, the whole thing. It's a system of fear-based mind control, you know, steeped in commerce, and that's what we've got. And we're not going to find remedy within that system. We've got to step above it and know who and what we are. That's the secret. That's the silver bullet. People say, what's this piece of paper I can take to go and fight the system and take them on and rah, rah, rah? And I say, well, I don't fight the system because the system's fiction. I'm fighting a cloud. The system only exists on paper. If I go and fight the system, then I'm saying that it exists. I'm giving it power. I'm giving it substance by fighting it. To me, I just disconnect from it. I don't have anything to do with it unless it attempts to inflict itself upon me. And then I will ask for its jurisdiction. I'll attempt to establish why it believes it can inflict itself upon me. And I've had massive success in any encounter that I've ever had with the legal system, and not with police officers. If police officers arrest you and they just do what they say, get out of their custody as quickly as possible. They're not very intelligent. They'll tase you because they like it. Get out of their custody. Don't argue with police officers on the side of the road. It's not the thing to do. You won't find remedy. Just get out of that and then deal with the legal system through the courts or by writing letters to the right people or whatever, you know. But don't try to argue with cops on the side of the road, as so many people do. That will not get you remedy. It will just get you in trouble and get you in deeper, you know.
Yeah, I mean, look at it this way. I mean, arguments are something you can only do with people who have intelligence, in other words, all right? And cops don't have it. They literally don't have intelligence. And this is true because they've actually decided that anybody who gets a high spike on the IQ test for the Australian police, and my friend Gavin has told me this when he went in to get tested, they said, no, mate, you're too smart. You'll go nuts by serving us. And that's just another way of saying, well, you're intelligent enough to work out the fact that we're a criminal gang full of scum and that we hate people and we get pleasure out of destroying people's frickin' lives. And you're intelligent enough to work that out, so you're going to be a danger to the police if we actually hire you and allow you to do it. So we'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen, after the break at the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. Don't you go anywhere.
Because if you're not part of the new media, you are by very definition old and crusty media. They are pathetic for the amount of coverage that they give to incredibly important issues, such as Vince Seymour's plight. What I find very interesting about the media is that instead of interviewing these people and allowing them to speak for themselves in long form and explain the massive amount of details of corrupt scumbaggery, they instead summarize by leaving out about 99% of the details. And if they interview an activist at a protest who is on a megaphone of some description, they are in fact reduced not just to a soundbite, but something even smaller, referred to commonly as an audio nibble. As a result of these audio nibbles, nobody and their hunger for the truth will ever be sated. This is the reason why I have dedicated my life. This is the reason why I only slept for a couple of hours last night, and here I am again. At it again! Because corrupt scum, like Justice Winkleman, are the bane of the existence of all freedom-loving people in this country. Those who are honest, those who are decent, those who care for their fellow man and the integrity of their nation are indeed the targets of people like Justice Winkleman. Because they are afraid. They are afraid to be exposed. And they freaking well should be. The death penalty is something reserved only for those who commit an act of treason in this nation. And I say it to you, Justice Winkleman, I believe, based on the evidence, that you are guilty of treason against the people of this country. And you should be tried, unlike the Uruwera people, by a jury of your peers and be hung from the neck until dead. Please listen to these words very carefully. Justice is coming for you. If you're in there, and you may not be, and who cares whether or not you are, because it's being recorded and people watch it on the internet anyway. Listen to the words of my voice. I will not bow to you. Your robes and your Masonic rings, if you've got them, are not signals of power that I respect, nor will I obey. And nor will any other good, decent person in this country, so long as they exude the bravery, the diligence of Vince Seymour. He is a man with integrity. When you do not protect those within your society who have integrity from those within your society who have masses of unchecked power, there is very little reason for the country to not descend into tyranny, where the rule of law is ignored, where the awful is kept into lawful, where scumbaggery becomes the entire apparatus. Our police, our judges, our politicians are all complicit, whether by saying nothing against it or whether by being engaged directly within it. You are just as culpable if you help to cover up corruption if you instead did it yourself. Please grow a conscience. That might not be possible, but please try anyway. Getting justice for Vince might not be possible, but I'm going to try and do it anyway. Not because I think it's an easy fight, but because I believe in my heart that it is the right thing to do, and that to do any less would be spitting on the lives of my grandfather and all his friends that died at war, would be spitting on all of those who defend freedom and justice in this country today, the honest police officers, the honest judges, if there are any, and the honest, good, decent people. Thank you.
What do you think of that, Max?
Pretty powerful stuff there, Vinny. Pretty powerful stuff. That was out the front of a judge's house, was it?
Yeah, Justice Winkleman, bro.
Okay. Interesting stuff. And this was from someone who got jailed for exposing criminality in the court, was it?
Yeah, that's Vince Seymour. And he's basically the country's top court watchdog. He's exposed copious quantities of stuff like, dig this, bro. Do you know who appoints all of our Supreme Court justices?
Tell me.
The Solicitor General. He appoints them himself, and there's no oversight. There are eight High Court justices, they built a I think they made a building for them that cost like $16 million or something like that. And out of those eight High Court justices, two of them are a husband and wife.
Unbelievable.
Can you spell conflict of interest anybody? And this is why Vince is really being jailed, I believe, because he actually is exposing that because of the endemic corruption in our court system, it is the most corrupt system in the world.
The New Zealand court system.
Mm-hmm.
Well, some of the legislation they put through in the last couple of years whereby, you know, virtually anybody could be detained and searched, and all your phone book and all your friends can be searched and all of this sort of stuff. I mean, it seems to be that New Zealand is leading the world in the police state apparatus at this time.
We're a good test case because we have a westernized population, and we have a mainstream media apparatus. We have vaccines and the health system and all of that kind of stuff. We're very, very, very similar to the other Western nations. So naturally, if they're going to implement something somewhere else, they often try it here first. And if the experiment goes well, then they begin to introduce it into other parts of the world.
Well, that's what they do everywhere. They've done it here as well, like with carbon tax. They do that all around the planet. See, they just try it somewhere. They just see, okay, that worked with them. Okay, well, now we'll extrapolate that out across the rest of the planet.
Can I speak about the carbon tax there for a second? Because me and Sarah were sitting on the couch watching the TV, and Prime Minister Rudd is taking over from Julia Gillard, and he says that he's going to scrap the carbon tax. We went, yeah, and replace it with an emissions trading scheme. Ah.
Yeah, cap and trade. Cap and trade is what they wanted to begin with, you see, but they couldn't get the cap and trade in. So, yeah, I mean, it's ridiculous. It's just a way of marginalizing countries. It's ridiculous. Now we're trading in carbon credits, you know. And so we can buy other credits from other countries. So we'll buy your carbon credits, which means we can produce more pollution than we should as long as you produce less. So that means you've got to stay in the third world. You know, I mean, it's amazing. It's just a scam.
It's wealth.
Oh, absolutely. Well, you'll find that all the wealth's going to transfer into the third world, though. They're going to reduce the first world to the third world, probably the fourth world, because they've got people in Western countries now so dependent upon the system, so dependent upon money, that the people in, you could reduce the first world down to the level of the third world or even the fourth world – And these people are so indoctrinated into the system that they'll go work the mines. They'll do anything they can. They'll rip their forest down. They'll do all this stuff because they believe they need to collect paper for their kids, you know, to raise their families. They believe they need paper to survive. They're so locked into this economic system now that you can take all of their wealth away and they will work harder and harder and harder. I mean, back in the last few decades even, I mean, when I was a kid, my father could work 4 days a week and the whole family was looked after. Now you've got to have mum, dad and the kids with weekend jobs just to pay the rent, you know, just to keep yourself above the water. So, you know, it's getting harder and harder and harder to live, and it's because people are so dependent upon this economic system. So, and you've got all the people in the third world that have been reduced to this state of abject poverty. Now you can dangle trinkets and mobile phones and computers and laptops in front of them, and they're all going to want it. They're all going to want the world that they see on the television, so they'll happily embrace the first world, which will completely disconnect them from their family units that they've got, because they've still got very strong family ties in third world countries. And when you get all this stuff, it disconnects you from all that, disconnects you from your roots, disconnects you from the art of yourself. You start enjoying life externally with all these external trinkets and toys that break down all the time, so you have to start exploiting each other to keep buying more. It's a vicious cycle. That's what they do. They just move the wealth around the planet, and it disconnects people from themselves as they do it, and it reduces the rest to slave workers and factory workers, you know?
I mean, the only cycle that I think is more vicious is the Tour de France. Now, speaking of Vince Seymour and that little speech that I gave there, at that protest, there was a mainstream media news reporter chick. Well, she wasn't a reporter. She was just a camera person. You know, they couldn't even be bothered sending a reporter out. And surprise, surprise, the TVNZ crew that arrived and took footage did no story. And TV3, who didn't even bother to turn up, made a story, but it had zero details of why he was actually jailed and what the suppressed court order that he was being jailed for violating was. And the National Business Review did a piece, but you have to pay $120 to read it. And the Sunday Star Times reporter who turned up also released no story. And I did about 10 videos with all of the full info about police and judicial corruption in New Zealand and what is going on. Who's the real media?
Yeah, exactly.
Guerrilla media.
Exactly, mate. See, people know now that they're not getting news from the mainstream, and that's why the alternate media has become so large. That's why people are tuning in and listening to shows like this, because it's the only place they get the real news. And news has got to come from the people on the ground. You know, the alternate media is developed out of a need to have a workable media. It's just been this organic process, and it's just developed organically because it needs to be there. People need to know what's going on. People want to know what's going on. And they're not getting that from the mainstream anymore. That's why it's so hard to lock human consciousness down, Vinny, because we just keep moving the goalposts. We're organic. We're creative. We just create new stuff all the time. And the more they try to lock us down, the more people they wake up. And so, you know, they're ruining their own nest, really. So, you know, they can't keep us down. And, you know, massive things are happening at the moment through the alternate media. And it's good to be part of it. It really is. But that's where people are going now. If they want information, they're going online to get it because that's the only place you'll find it.
It's true. And what was very interesting is last night I was having a little bit of a discussion with an activist, and I told her that the beehive in Wellington, you know, our parliament building, is a Masonic symbol built by a Freemason. She's like, oh, where's the evidence of that? And there aren't too many Freemasons in New Zealand anyway. And I was like, what's your argument? Are you arguing that a small group of determined individuals can't have any influence? You know? And I'd never actually done this before, but I started Googling about Freemasonry in New Zealand and who built the thing, and I found not only one but two mainstream articles that confirmed that that the designer was a Freemason and so on and so forth, and pictures of John Key at the Freemasons Lodge and all this kind of stuff, and our three top people are 32nd and 33rd degree Masons of the Scottish Rite and so on and so forth. So even if they're a small, dwindling clique of people. It was actually unusual, very unusual, back in the day for a Prime Minister of New Zealand to not be a Mason, you know?
the power structure is still there, by all accounts. And the problem is it's hidden, it's secret, you know. Nobody knows what the heck goes on in there. How would we know? Even if they didn't have any influence, there's no way to confirm that because everything that they do is secret.
Exactly, and we need transparency. That's what I was saying. I did a show on Australian Community Radio last week, and we were talking about the whole surveillance thing in the NSA, and I said, okay, well, if we need surveillance, I'm all for surveillance. Let's put surveillance in every government building in the country, in every room in every government building, so we know exactly what these politicians are up to, and let's we, the people who employ these politicians, assess what's going on within the corridors of Parliament, and then we will decide whether we need surveillance in any other place, because I would suggest that that's where all the corruption comes from. All the war, all the problems that we have around the planet. I mean, I've travelled, I've never met anybody who wanted war. War doesn't come from other countries, it comes from corrupt politicians and corrupt governments around the world. Every single problem that we face, every single corporation that has control over a situation because of some charter that's been granted to it by politicians, the money system that enslaves us, that is approved by our elected trustees, every single problem that we face on this planet is a result of corruption in government, every single one of them. And that's why we need to step above it. You know, we need to realize what our relationship with these people is, which is trust. It's a trust agreement. The people that you're dealing with are just people. They do not have any special power. They do not have any control, any jurisdiction. They don't have any of it. They just wrote it down on a piece of paper. You know what a law is, folks? Legislation. They just say, hey, we can do this. You know why we can do this? Because we wrote it down in this book here that says that we can do it. And look, it's got a fancy letterhead. So now you have to let us do this. That's what legislation is. Legislation is an attempt by politicians to remove actual law from the planet and replace it with their will. That's all legislation is. It's got nothing to do with actual law.
Yeah, exactly. The argument is, you must do this because we made it up.
Really? Because we made it up and we wrote it down.
The only reason why we have to do this? Because you made it? What?
Yeah. But it's got a fancy letterhead. Look, it's got a little gold stamp and a fancy letterhead. So that makes it all, yes, of course you have to do it.
All right. And now what we have to do is go to break. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. In just a few minutes, don't you go anywhere.
It's corrupt.
Yeah.
Just like many judges in New Zealand, they operate as a small clique to protect themselves from public scrutiny. The media are complicit with their cowardice.
They are.
Their inability to cover the truth and what truly matters. Is in fact the very reason why this country continues to be a corrupt, corporate-controlled coup of a nation.
There are two groups of individuals in this country that I feared. One being the gangs, the other being the police, who are incidentally a gang. The reason why I fear these two groups of people, and I'm going to add judges to those lists, as I did yesterday when I found out about what happened to Vince, is that they both use violence, deception, and both have no respect for the rule of law. Justice is an artificial state of being created by humanity. Justice does not exist in nature.
You look at nature, nature is not just. If you are a small little deer and you're running away from a large mountain lion, there's no court to protect you. There's nobody to charge the mountain lion with murder. You just get killed. You get your throat ripped out. In nature, there is no justice. And man, in an effort to detach ourselves from being animals, have created a system whereby people can get justice. And it's artificial. And so here I am using an artificial device called a microphone to expose this type of corruption, to create an artificial justice that naturally doesn't happen with a corrupt court system.
They have a duty to question their orders.
Okay.
Corruption cannot exist. Corruption cannot exist, and their stripes and uniform back it up. Question your orders. Remember the Nuremberg trial. You will be held accountable. You will be held accountable!
Wearing a uniform is no excuse. You question your orders. What did you put that uniform on for? Was it to be corrupt?
I guess you're here because...
I'm just here to speak to whoever's organising today.
Because...
because obviously there's people standing in the road and there's a lot of noise. You can take that out of my face.
And a police officer.
Just a microphone, sir. I'm a member of the media. I don't care if you're a member of the Moon Party. But don't put it in my face, thank you.
Okay, so how much distance would you like?
I just want to speak to whoever's organising today.
So you're just concerned about people getting run over, are you?
Penny, I just want to speak to whoever's organising.
Well, I'm one of the people that organised it, and a number of people organising it.
The perpetrator is in that house, sir! 20 Audrey, Justice Henry, Helen Winkleman, or is it Henry? Sometimes I find it difficult to tell with a hairdo.
I'm well aware of the right to take it, but I just need to speak to whoever's organising today, that's all.
It's a
fairly reasonable...
Please, ladies and gentlemen, we have been instructed not to obstruct the road, so can you please stand on the sidewalks? Keep the public safe. Do not interfere with the police. Follow their instructions unless they are unlawful, in which case it is your lawful duty to not obey.
Well, I can step out of the way if that's the case, but I'm not obstructing anyone. I won't be moving. What you people are doing wearing those uniforms, the police wearing those uniforms are obstructing justice taking place. And justice does not come from corrupt court rulings. Think about what you're doing wearing that uniform.
If anybody wishes to cross the road right now, stand here and we'll have a policeman escort you across the road. There's no need for sarcasm, but there is a need for justice. There is a need for truth. There is a need for civil disobedience. We're here today for one reason only. It's because people like these two over here and this one over here won't allow democracy to take place, and they are not following up on the rule of law. They make it, they don't abide by it. When we think about the rule of law, one must believe and know that the law applies to everybody. When Winkleman breaks the law, she becomes a criminal who should be arrested. When you get arrested, you should have taken a statement, evidence should be gathered. But unfortunately, the laws in this nation are not applied equally. The rain falls down as if the very elements were to wash away protesters in a flurry of scumbaggery. Excuse me, just to the police. I want you to know that you are respected by us. We won't assault you. We won't insult you or anything of that nature. What we wish for is for you to remember your oath to uphold the law. Justice Winkleman has broken the law. And Vince Seaver, who through duty to the rule of law, reported this instance. And instead of Justice Winkleman going to jail, Vince Seaver is going to jail for reporting a crime. When was the last time, men in uniform, that you arrested somebody for reporting a crime? Only when a criminal has a uniform or a black cape like frickin' Batman do they become immune to the rule of law, apparently.
Now, the obscenity of what's happening in this country, I don't know how emotional other people are, but I'm a relatively emotional person, you know. I feel because I actually care about my fellow man. And a lot of these people who are enforcing this kind of criminal scumbaggery don't play by the same rules, don't feel the same emotions that I do. What's wrong with them?
Well, yeah, they're psychopaths, Vinny. They're psychopaths. That's the thing. You know, we've got psychopaths that are running the place. And you know, that's why it's important for you to speak out like the way you do, because what they've done with this guy, arresting him for reporting a crime, And because the crime that he reported is against the judge, they've set a legal precedent. And this means that anybody who reports a crime, if that crime was committed by anybody within a position of authority, well, you're going to go to jail for reporting that crime. So it removes all accountability from government. It shows what we're going to do to you if you try to mess with us. We're going to steal from you. We're going to indulge in our system of human trafficking. We're going to take the wealth of this planet from you. And if you dare to step out of line, we're going to throw you in jail. That's what it says to the public. And the public need to pay attention to what's going on. And they need to take the matter in hand. And that can only be done with things like what you're doing. It's got to be grassroots. People have to stand up and say enough is enough. And ask these people to show cause. Well, they shouldn't be held in breach of trust. You know, that's what you have to do. It's a breach of trust. It's a clear breach of trust. Any person within the judicial system that is going to arrest someone for reporting a crime, be it a police officer or whatever. If a police officer gets a report from a judge that he has to go and arrest this guy, he should arrest the judge. Because it was the guy who reported the crime. And it's just because, okay, he reported the crime against this person who happens to be one of the guys who writes these rules down in books. Does that mean I can't arrest this guy because he's one of the people who writes these rules down in the books? Yeah, it's ridiculous. Like you say, it's a two-tiered legal system. There's one set of rules for them and there's one set of rules for us. It creates this whole, what would I say? It's almost like a feudal system, like a, you know, it's like a monarchy over all of our nations almost, you know, where these guys just write the rules, they're above them, and we just have to go along with it. And the people have to pay attention because it could happen to any single person who decides to report anybody in any place of authority for any type of crime. You'll get situations where you've got a child who reports a teacher for molesting them and he gets in trouble for doing so. You know, so, you know, the child gets in trouble for doing so. It'll come right down to that level where this is happening within the school system even. So, you know, through authority, you know, we've really got to watch where this is going, you know.
And you know what's worse is it's not just the authorities and those who you would expect to be corrupt and so on and so forth who endorse and allow this kind of thing to happen. What's worse is members of the public who say, yeah, he should be arrested. Yeah, he should be thrown in jail without trial. Yeah, he should be kicked in the head while he's handcuffed in the cells. Yeah, he should be pepper sprayed for protesting. Yeah, they should, you know?
Yeah.
That's the scary thing.
Well, yeah, it's because this society is designed to nurture any sociopathic spark that anybody has within them. And when you've taken people's power away from them and you've reduced them to a shell of what they should be, then they want to, you know, they want to jump on the bandwagon. They want to go and kick someone. They want to just, yeah, let's get him, let's hurt him. It releases that inner tension. They just want to hate something. They want something to be able to direct their anger at because their lives are miserable. They just never really look at why their lives are so miserable, you know. And you can't really blame people. They're programmed for these responses. That's what they do. It's all programmed responses. It's fascinating to see that it does happen. It's fascinating to see how far human consciousness and mankind has strayed from their path. It really is. But again, it's a program. You've got to understand that people do this because they're programmed to react that way. That's what this society does. That's what this social structure does. You know, the people like us who think outside of that box are the rarity, unfortunately, you know?
Well, you know, gold is a valuable resource because it's so rare, Max. And it also occurs to me that you don't need a cast of thousands, you know. Traditionally, I think there's a quote somewhere in there from somebody much, much older and wiser than myself. Never underestimate the power of a small, determined minority to change the world, because in truth, it's the only thing that ever has.
Exactly.
We'll be right back after the break at the Vinnie Eastwood Show. .com, ladies and gentlemen, don't look for things to hate and destroy. Look for things to love and support, like the Vinnie Eastwood Show at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. It is now hour number two of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show, the lighter side of genocide, because in a world so full of chaos and madness and corrupt scumbaggery that wear capes like Batman that sit in the judiciary, if you lose your sense of humour, you'll go friggin' nuts. And my very special guest is from thecrowhouse.com, the fabulous Max Egan, who I really appreciate your perspective on this as well, man, because over the weekend when we filmed this protest and did all these videos and stayed up late and accomplished really a lot. In fact, I believe I made a Facebook post just chronicling what I did in one 24-hour period. And it was a long, long post, man. It was freaking ridiculous. And I was just like, let me lay it down like this. I reckon Thomas Sheridan was right when he said I probably have a form of benign narcissism, you know, much like Muhammad Ali or Bruce Lee, meaning I believe that I'm great, the best, in fact, not because I'm delusional or egotistical, but because I really am. You know, case in point, that day alone, after only 4 hours sleep the night previous, I did a radio show where I poured out my emotions about the jailing of court watchdog Vince Seamer from kiwispurs.co.nz. I recorded, edited, and uploaded it to my website. And the United We Strike crew were kind enough to play my interview with Vince I recorded earlier on their website. And while I went to, and that was just while I went to the protest to support Vince, and I used the donated cameras and megaphone to make no less than 10 short videos comprising the bulk of the footage, some of which was donated by a lovely woman named Shannon. Thank you for that, Shannon. With topics ranging from police and judicial corruption to the family court and the destruction of the rule of law in this country. And that's delivered in 100-watt tripod-mounted, wirelessly amplified and recorded sound right into a corrupt Judge Winkleman's home. Complete scumbaggery and a total out-of-control judiciary that gets away with it? Not on my fracking watch. I hooked up one of my listeners, Barry, who is a PA system guru, to do sound for the Fluoride Action Network's two Auckland events this week, out west and in central, which I will also show up and film at. Why? Because Hamilton, who just removed fluoride, Whakatane and Hastings, who also removed it, are now having a referenda for fluoride in the hopes that the dumbed-down general populace will support this madness as opposed to a few councillors reviewing the evidence presented by the dentists and doctors who spoke for the Fluoride Action Network New Zealand. All the more reason to push hard, now more than ever. They're running scared, and I think the brainwashed masses will be dumb enough to get their agendas through for them. Not on my fracking watch. Then Ian R. Crane contacted me about his new lecture about arguably the issue on Earth today, fracking. And so I asked him if I could help promote it by downloading it from YouTube and upload it to my channel. It was an honor to help such a respected researcher get access to the subscriber base that I've built up over the years. You know? Oil companies trying to commit genocide? Not on my fracking watch. I also stayed up to edit the video for my Friday show with Paul Waddell, who's one of only three people in the whole country that's qualified to test for EMF and EMR radiation sources. An incredibly lovely guy with a depth of knowledge on the subject without parallel. And with two camera angles, awesome slides on the giant TV behind us, incidentally the source of 90% of the radiation in my office during showtime, this 90-minute virtual documentary was cut together in 4.5 hours, and in my opinion is the finest show I've ever done, with the quality of video, audio, visuals, and info to rival any TV news program in the world for watchability. And I know for a fact that this information will save lives. Anyone want their kids developing allergies, ADHD symptoms, and like all adults going sterile and getting cancer? Not on my fracking watch. Now, as a filmmaker, radio talk host with a number of abilities, I'm able to help these decent, honorable, diligent, intelligent, admirable people in a real, meaningful way without them paying me a dime because they couldn't afford it anyway. And those who sacrifice of themselves so that my nation, my people, and in the world itself might be free, healthy, and independent, should they be left to fade silently into the night because nobody stood up for them? Not on my fracking watch. It was like 5:30 in the morning while I was typing this out, and I think it was like eight, I think it was like about 8 o'clock in the morning by the time I finished it. I accomplished more in a day than most filmmakers do in a year. And then some. Why? Because I've got the ability to help others. If one has the ability, then one has a responsibility. But most important of all, I'm done letting people down. Over the last week, I've seen my activist friends jailed, shot at, set up, bankrupted, evicted, sabotaged, demonized, insulted and defamed. Witness people give them abuse, doubt, ridicule, and cruelty. Well, you guessed it. Not on my fracking watch. Well, you never get to the next part of this egotistical rant. Everything that I achieved just in that one day, and every day, is the direct result of the good things others have done for me. The donations, subscriptions, equipment, my rent, food, water, even the very clothes on my back. All of this has been given to me by those who recognize that indeed, I am a fracking legend. I am a good man, and I am worth investing in. Your faith is well placed, and I trust your judgment. So if I ever, and I mean ever, get egotistical and it's not an accurate reflection of my ability to help others in their time of need, please pull me up on it. Tell me I've gone overboard. I'll listen, I'll learn, and I will improve myself so that I might better serve humanity and stay on target. I love you all so very much for the massive level of support you've collectively and individually shown me. Keep it coming. I give you my word. I won't let you down. Go to the VinnieEastwoodShow.com, ladies and gentlemen, and donate today. Set up a subscription, $5 a month, right into the bank account. And if you can't figure that one out, use the PayPal with your credit card, okay? I'm very much worth it. I'm just trying to help people, and I actually am succeeding in doing it. And I have a level of dedication that is very hard to find. Thank you. Sorry to take up so much of the time of the show with you, Max, talking about myself and what have you, but yeah, it just needs to be said sometimes.
No, that's all good, Vinny. I mean, I love what you do, brother. It's really good that you're out there doing it, man. You're out there on the front line with the megaphone. You're yelling at judges' houses. I mean, you know, you're out there putting yourself on the line. And as you say, I mean, it's troubling times. You've got people that are virtually disappearing off the street all around you. So, you know, we do need help and support in what we do. I mean, I need help and support in what I do as well. I mean, I'm only able to do what I do because people do help. People do make donations, you know, few and far between sometimes, but they do make them, you know. And when they do, it helps. It really does. Every cent helps. I couldn't do what I do without the donations. So, no, good on you, mate. It's good that you've got the dedication. We need more people like you.
Well, especially when you're staying up to 8 o'clock in the morning to get your work that you're not paid for finished. You know, and I don't think people get that. You know, like I was at a protest once, Max, and we were advertising. We were trying to promote the protest against the sale of state assets, right? You know, they're selling off all our power companies and everything to multinationals who are just going to, you know, let the grid go haywire as they always do, and up the price up for everybody while they reduce the quality. It happens every time. And this guy comes up to me and says, "Why don't you go get a job?" Okay. Let me just see if I can review that statement. Why don't I go get a job? Okay. First of all, why would I want to go get a job? So I can be a slave like you? Secondly, I already have a job. It's called exposing scumbaggery and protecting my country. And it's a full-time job. Okay?
Yeah, that's the
why
thing.
Why would I
want to
get a job like you? How many hours a week do you work, mate? You work your 40 hours a week, then you go home and you spend your slave money on your slave beer and you hang out with your slave friends in the slave bar, right? I do something with my spare time that actually helps humanity. You're only helping yourself to more drinks, you scumbag. Shut the frack up. You don't know what you're talking about. You don't even know who you are. You don't even know what you're even capable of. I do. And that's why you tell me to go get a job, because I'm making you look bad, you pathetic piece of... You know?
Yeah, well, to a point, but again, it's programmed. He's programmed to be that way. That's the thing. People are programmed. Now, I've often said, you know, look, we've got to learn to forgive people and forgive ourselves, because nobody has been given an even playing field. Nobody who's out there in their programmed reality working in the slavery system has been given an even playing field. They've never had an ability to be able to even be in a position where they might begin to comprehend what reality is. They grew up in a programmed family doing programmed responses. They went to school and they got programmed to respect authority. They went out into the world. They got told that it's a cutthroat place and you got to claw your way to the top, and life is about the one with the most wins. And if you're in a state of hardship, well, it's those dull bludgers that are spending your tax money. That's what it's all about. It's all their fault. So this is programmed. People are programmed to be this way. You know, what we've got to do is show them there's a better way. You know, I do have a job, mate. My job is protecting this country, and it's a full-time job, and I work 80, 90 hours a week at my job. And I probably get less pay than you, but I bet I get a lot more job satisfaction. And perhaps you need to think about that a little bit. And by the way, here's a business card. Go check out my website. You might learn something. You know, he might just attack you for that, but maybe he'll also respect you because of the respect that you showed for him. Because he's programmed. He's a drone, sure. He's a sheeple. He's whatever. But he's programmed to be that way. And it's the same in all of our societies, brother. They're all programmed, you know.
I'd like to make this point, that if it is possible to program somebody, surely it's possible to deprogram them.
Well, that's exactly what we're doing with these shows. This is why I present the films the way I do when I make them. I mean, TV and films is what's been used to program people, but that's where they are. So we use that same medium to deprogram them. That's what I do with the radio show. That's why I speak in such a calm, rational, common sense way all the time, just in an attempt to calmly, politely, rationally explain to people that life may not be exactly the way they were taught to believe. And it is. It's all deprogramming, and that's what we're doing, brother. That's what you're doing, and that's what we're all doing.
Well, you've got to use the weapons of the enemy against them. And also, emotions, and this is what I do respect about your work so much, Max, is that you do it in such a calm, rational way. And it contrasts, on occasion with, the thing that I do, you know, yelling, screaming through megaphones and things of that nature. But I believe we need both, because, occasionally rationality is not enough to wake people up. Sometimes they need to feel, the emotions and the rage in order to, shake them out of their slumber. So we're basically coming at them with a pincher attack here. We're using their emotions and their logic against them so that they will wake up and deprogram themselves.
Well, absolutely. It's got to be done from all angles. Everybody's got a different perspective, and everyone's got a different way of approaching the problem. As long as when you're presenting problems to people, you're at least going down the path towards solution. And that's what you do. It doesn't matter if you're yelling to do it. You're still doing it. And you're happy to yell someone into wakefulness, but that doesn't mean you're disrespecting them. You know, it doesn't mean I hate you. I might be yelling at you to wake up, but it doesn't mean I hate you. You know, and it's okay. I mean, it's okay to do that. We all have our own way of doing it. And look, I'm plenty angry too, brother. If I wasn't angry, I wouldn't do what I do. I wouldn't sit here and dedicate my life and my time to trying to calmly tell people, could they possibly wake up now, please? It might be time to pay attention, you know. Yeah, I mean, if I wasn't incredibly angry, I couldn't do this. I just channel my anger into that. And for me, it's almost like a form of meditation. It's very calming. But it is a full-time job. I mean, a lot of people don't realize that. I mean, even I get messages saying, you know, congratulations for the team at the Crow House for doing such a great job, you know. I go, well, the Crow House.
What team?
Yeah, it's a one-man show, you know. All of the films I've made, all of the radio shows, the animation for the shows, the website, every pixel on that website I made myself. I mean, the whole lot is it's all a one-man show. You know, I had someone do a little bit of animation for me for the last film. Only a small section, but the rest of it, it's all a one man thing, the whole lot. So, you know, I just believe that we can make a difference here if we participate. You know, people are sitting there watching, it's like the audience watching the spy novel of this corrupt reality, and they're just going, wow, isn't the world messed up? But isn't it great that we've got people out on the front line like Vinny and Max that are doing this sort of stuff for us, and they're just watching. And what I keep saying is that what we need, you know, people need to understand that it's now audience participation time. We need audience participation. You know, you just got to get involved. If you get involved in this reality, get involved in your life, get involved in the people around you, get involved in reality, because what they're giving you isn't reality. You don't have to be a slave. You don't have to pay to be alive. Somebody just made the whole thing up, and we're just going along with it. And all this stuff, it's like you say, we wrote it down. You've got to do this because we made it up. We made the whole thing up, all of it, all this legal stuff, we made it all up. Look, we made it up. We wrote it down. Because we wrote it down, it's got a little gold letterhead. Now you've got to do this stuff. Well, really? How does that work? You know, aren't you just flesh and blood like me? Don't you get your power from me because we elected you into a position of trust to manage our society for us? And now you're using that trust to take away my rights and to abuse my friends, to enslave me to a corrupt money system and to steal all my wealth. I would suggest that you're in breach of trust. And once the whole community realizes this, I mean, like, I'm not saying we don't need government, because we've got a situation where people can't really look after themselves. They don't have the life skills that they should have anymore. And it's going to take us a little while to get that back. So we do need...
I think that's because the government instituted public education and stopped people educating themselves on how to take care of themselves.
Oh, of course. It's all part of the plan, absolutely. But that's where we are.
Because we had the government.
Exactly. We need the government because we had the government. Exactly. I mean, they've done very well. It's very clever. And we've got to realize, okay, well, that's how it happened, but that's where we are right now. So we need some form of governance to get us back to where we should be. But we need to step up now and demand transparency in our government, because if we don't get it now, we're not going to get it. With things like what's going on with this case that you're protesting about, as I said, this is setting a precedent. And this is showing what happens to people who question authority and who point out criminal activity within positions of authority. And it's setting a very, very dangerous precedent. So we need to pay attention.
Yeah. Wake up, New Zealand. Wake the frack up. Time is short. Your people and your country need you, and need you now to get off your ass and do something about it. You're listening to The Vinnie Eastwood Show. We'll be right back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to The Vinnie Eastwood Show. My very special guest, honourable and decent man, patriotic, philosophical, somewhat fabulous, Max Egan, from thecrowhouse.com is my guest. And we were talking over the break about fatherhood, parenting, you know, that kind of thing. And you've had it quite rough, Max. You know, like I didn't know.
I had a bit of a rough childhood, but it's something that I don't really go on to on air. So I'll nip that in the bud now before we get into it. But it was a pretty rough childhood, but in a way, it showed me things very quickly from a very young age, and it gave me the perspective that I've got. I mean, I had a lot of bad things in my life. A lot of my life was like a train wreck through my childhood and my teenage years. But really, when I look back on it, I treasure every moment, even all the bad stuff, because it gave me the perspective that I've got now. And it gave me the ability to be able to view the world from a lot of different perspectives, and I can look at people in bad situations and I can identify with them because I've been in that situation. It isn't just sympathy. It's real empathy. It's really knowing what they're feeling and knowing how it feels to be in that situation. And so, yeah, I mean, I treasure it all. It made me who I am now, and it gave me the outlook that I've got now. And it's given me the ability to do what I do now. Now, all of it's led me to this point, and it's all happened for a reason.
Well, I think it's like when you feel that injustice has been done upon you, and it's been done so unequivocally, you know, like you can't in any way rationalize it and say, oh, it's okay because of such and such. It does motivate you in a permanent way to bring about a better society, I think. Similar to what happened to you, you know, earlier on in your life, you know, going through real harsh times, and you're grateful for it because it turned you into who you are. You know, that reminded me of is when I first got arrested for selling cannabis as a student. You know, I got caught with 13 grams of cannabis rolled up in tinfoil, and I was going to go to jail for up to 8 years for that. And I confessed everything to the police, and they wrote it all down, and then they still made up evidence. And I was just like, oh, my God. and I'm going to court. And the person, two people in front of me, one guy is just, he's just come out of a heroin addiction clinic, so broke that he can't even afford a jar of Craig's jam. So he steals it from the local BP, and the BP prosecutes him. And the judge orders him to repay reparations to the BP service station of $4.20 to replace the jar of Craig's jam. And the next guy comes up. He's up for assault, sexual assault, resisting arrest, growing cannabis plants. He gets 150 hours community service. I go up, 13 grams of cannabis, and I get 300 hours community service.
Yeah.
Explain that one to me.
Well, like you said, mate, justice is something that we made up. And, you know, there is no justice within the parameters of the system. It just depends on what sort of a mood the judge is in. You know, that's what it's all about. I mean, there's no justice within any of that system. And really, when you look at it, I mean, people, basically, it's almost like the crime of being poor, you know. And as for cannabis use, I mean, what right does anybody have to say that we can't use a plant? I mean, this is something that's been mankind's companion plant for centuries, you know, thousands and thousands of years. When it was in widespread use, we had no real diseases. We've got cannabinoid receptors in every single organ of our body. And, you know, most medicines used to be based on cannabinoids as well. It's a plant that's never killed anybody in over 5,000 years of recorded use, and yet it's classed as a dangerous drug.
10,000 years recorded. 10,000 years recorded use, actually.
Well, there you go, you know, and we're told that this plant, it's a plant that would replace most of the most profitable and most pollutive industries on the planet as well. You can get high-quality plastics, high-quality building materials. We can get biofuel, best-quality paper, best-quality materials. It treats...
Concrete.
Well, it treats all sorts of things. Treats glaucoma. Treats, you know, all sorts of diseases, you know, like the compounds have
and
been scientifically proven. Well, yeah, it's been scientifically proven to cure all sorts of diseases like epilepsy, glaucoma, osteoporosis, schizophrenia, I think cardiovascular disorders, neurodegenerative disorders, Parkinson's disease, Huntington's disease, Tourette's syndrome, Alzheimer's, all of these things. And yet it's completely disregarded by the medical community, and we're told that it must remain illegal for our safety. It's in our best interest that we do not use this plant. And really, it's been mankind's companion plant for years. Rick Simpson, I mean, I've spent some time with Rick in Croatia. We're actually good friends. And Rick, his theory is that the reason the world is in the situation that it's in, the reason we have all these psychopaths in control, and the reason people are so messed up that they would come up to you and tell you to get a job when you're out there protecting the country, is because the whole world is cannabinoid deficient. That's what he says. We have cannabinoid receptors in every cell in our body, every organ in our body, and yet we receive no cannabinoids. These receptors are there, and if we had these cannabinoids in our system, the world simply wouldn't be as stressed out and messed up as it is. And that's his theory. We're all cannabinoid deficient.
Yeah, absolutely right. And when I think about the injustice of it, you know, having personally gone through it, it's a massive, massive motivation. You know, that's how I actually first got into activism, was cannabis activism. And then I started realizing after about a year or two that, oh my God, this isn't the only thing that's wrong with society. I must do more. I must cover more. And, before I know it, I'm covering hundreds of subjects, thousands even, because there's hundreds and thousands of things that are wrong with society.
Well, there is. That's why people need to pay attention. That's what we were saying before the break. People have to pay attention. We need audience participation. You know, if people disrespect themselves and realize that if things like cannabis, this plant can heal you of cancer. It can heal you of degenerative disorders. It can heal you of all sorts of terminal diseases and terminal illness and very, very dangerous conditions. It can heal you of all these things, but you don't use it because the government wrote this rule on a piece of paper. They made up the fact. They said, oh, look, we've made up this new idea that you can't use this anymore. So now you can't use it. So therefore, you're going to have to die. And while you're dying, we'll feed you all these chemicals so that we can profit from you while you're dying, so we can take any wealth that you may have accumulated so you don't get to pass it on to your kids. We'll take all that from you for cancer treatment. And then once you've given us all your wealth, well, we'll just let you die anyway, because the cancer treatment's going to kill you, even if the cancer doesn't. But this gives us the mechanism by which to extract all the wealth you've accumulated during your life. in your older years. Because when you get older, you're going to develop cancer through all the toxins and chemicals we put into your environment. So this is what they've done. And you're not allowed to cure yourself of these terminal illnesses because they wrote these rules on a piece of paper. I say they're in breach of trust. I say they're a bunch of criminals. And the only way we're ever going to be able to fix this situation is when people wake up to themselves and decide to stand up and pay attention. Now, we could fix the world in 3 seconds if people simply change their perspective of who and what they are. You know, change their perspective of the power that they've got and realize that these politicians are simply public trustees that we elected to do exactly the opposite of what they're doing. And they're getting away with it because people just aren't paying attention. You know, and again, look, you can say this and you can get incredibly frustrated and angry about it, but ultimately they're programmed not to pay attention. And whenever they do start paying a little bit of attention and things get a little bit more obvious, well, all the prices of everything goes up. So people are forced to run faster on the treadmill. So they just don't get time to stop and slow down and look around them and actually notice what's going on. So, you know, it's a tricky situation that we're in. And we're up against a lot, but like I said, the more negative they make it and the more they bring in, then the more, people are waking up. And that's why we need people like you and people like me that when people do awaken to these problems, they can see that there are solutions to these problems. You know, we've got to be presenting solutions, and I believe all the solutions come down to yourself. They come down to self-empowerment. Once you know who and what you are, you know that you have the ability to stand up to these people because they're just people and all the rules are just fiction. The whole thing, we made the whole thing up.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, in fact, there's a lesson in there because if you don't want to live in that system, if you don't want to participate in the corruption, guess what? You've got that same ability that they do to just make it up as you go along. How do you think I became a radio show host? How do you think I started making films? How do you think I started exposing scumbaggery? Wasn't because somebody helped me. Wasn't because somebody told me. It's because I just was making it up as I go along. And I still am. That's why it works so well.
Exactly. I mean, me too. I never planned on doing any of this. It was sort of all dropped in my lap. And I don't know what every show is going to be about before I start the show. I just start talking and it comes out the way it does. You know, I don't plan any of this sort of stuff. It just sort of comes out. So yeah, you can make it up as well. Like I said, they keep trying all this stuff and we keep changing the playing field. We keep moving the goalposts. They will never keep human consciousness down. We're too creative. We're capable of so much. And you know, it's like, you know, the system has to collapse. And the more they try to lock it down, the more it's going to collapse because the more it exposes itself. I mean, people now are talking about the stuff that we're talking about, and people you wouldn't expect to be talking about are going, yeah, there's some serious things wrong here. Yeah, the government's corrupt, and you know, people are starting to talk about it in the supermarket, and just average, everyday people that you wouldn't expect to be looking at these things are now looking at them because the government is trying so hard to lock people down and to keep a lid on this whole thing, you know, but it's not working. It has to come undone. And what we've got to do, though, is we've got to have something in place so that when it does come undone, we know what sort of a path and what sort of a method we're going to take, you know? Because, like, we're seeing, like, all these massive protests we're seeing, even in Egypt and Brazil and everywhere, there's people know there's a problem, and they're getting out in the street and they're marching and they really want change, but they don't really know what they want. They just know everything's messed up and they want something different, but they don't know what it is.
Hey, that's step one, is realizing you've got a problem, isn't it?
Oh, it is. It's a big part of it, and it's great to see people doing this. And even with what they've done in Egypt, I mean, like, I really believe that the whole Arab Spring, I think this was all contrived. I really do. I think it was all about putting in a new puppet. I think as much as in Egypt, like, for example, as much as Morsi appeared to be part of the Muslim Brotherhood and it was all Islam and all this sort of stuff, it wasn't really. I mean, he was a servant of Israel. Well, he was a servant of Israel and he was a servant of Western interests. Now, everyone thought he was going to open up the borders into Gaza, and he didn't. He closed all the tunnels. It's almost impossible to get into Gaza now while Morsi has been in power, you know? And so he's really done the wrong thing. And this is a game being presented to the world as this, you know, oh, no, look, they're overthrowing this Islamist and this, you know, Muslim Brotherhood, elected Democrat, you know, this whole thing. They're saying, oh, yeah, and the people don't want democracy and they don't want Islamism and all this sort of stuff. So the media are trying to play it. Or they put in a new puppet. But they played a very dangerous game because Egypt has been under a dictatorship for a long, long time. And now, through the Arab Spring, they got Morsi and they thought, well, maybe this is going to be changed. But now that didn't happen. They saw they were being deceived. Gaza borders are being closed. The Palestinians are still in the state they're in. This guy isn't helping his Arab brothers. So they overthrew him. And there were millions, literally millions of people on the street. And now the people of Egypt, who have lived in a repressive dictatorial regime for a long, long time, they now believe that they can bring about change through the weight of numbers. And if they put a new puppet in now, it's not going to be long before these people say, hey, we did it before, we can do it again. And it's really put this spark of power in the hands of the people. So if their intention in putting these puppet governments in was to make it look like there was a revolution, well, they've played a very dangerous game because they put that spark of revolution into the hearts of the people now. And I don't think there's any looking back from this point. I think it's just going to get, we're going to see this happen more and more around the globe. We're seeing it in Brazil. We're seeing it in Turkey. We're seeing it in Egypt. You know, we've got Italy and Greece. Everywhere's been going off. I just wonder how long it'll take to get to our countries.
You know, it's easy to get frustrated and depressed. And one of my guests the other week, Luke McKee, he's been exposing sort of like elements within the gay community that are getting away with child abuse and things like that. And another friend of mine told me, well, they're not the only people that commit pedophilia, are they, Vinny? And it was like, well, of course they're not. There's plenty of it going on in many sections of society, but only these people are capable of calling you a homophobe if you expose them for child abuse, you know? And he's like, whoa, that's very interesting. And I was like, exactly, okay? It had nothing to do with being gay. It has to do with being a child abuser. Okay, I've got three gay friends. Love them to death. They're classic, and they have big hearts, big a good conscience, and they expose scumbaggery for a living. You know, who's homophobic? You know, and what frustrated me, and this is the advice that I gave to Luke, because I saw him arguing with these people who don't see through that veil. Okay, and you know when you try to argue with somebody who can't argue, the argument goes on forever and doesn't go anywhere. And Luke was getting incredibly frustrated and wondering, when are people going to wake up? How much do I have to say to them? And I was just saying, bro, stop doing that, okay? You're banging your head against a brick wall. All you're doing is frustrating yourself because you're wasting your own time trying to wake up somebody who refuses to wake up, okay? Don't try and get people out of bed if they don't want to get out of bed. You know, you can say whatever you want to them, but they still won't do it.
Well, yeah,
don't
you've
waste
got
your time.
You've got to nip arguments like that in the bud. I mean, you can tell if you're making a point about something and you need to make a couple of points on the way to getting there in order to set up the scenario for what you're actually trying to say. If the person that you're talking to comes in and starts interjecting with all of these points along the way before you've even said what you're going to say, then the person that you're talking to has a predetermined belief and he has already got a predetermined response. He's already made his mind up before he has even heard what you're going to say. Otherwise, he would not be interjecting, so the argument is pointless. Walk away.
Indeed. And one of these guys he was arguing with actually said, before he started talking, I'm not here to debate. I'm just here to call you a homophobe. We'll be right back after the break at thevinnyeastwoodshow.com. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. It's the final segment here with Max Egan. And we were talking about religion over the break. And it was actually quite a very interesting discussion there, Max. I mean, we were thinking about having, Dr. Kevin Barrett, John Lash, and maybe Lindsay Williams, you know, Christian, Muslim, Buddhist, on the show together to have a discussion about religion. And I predicted that they'd all agree on pretty much everything except which book to read at night. And it's because they're the rare people within those religious so-called fear-based mind control systems that actually truly follow the words of, say, Muhammad or Jesus, whether or not you believe he exists. The lessons are still there nonetheless. And it's quite a rarity for those people to come out and resist all of these controlling paradigms within religion and actually come out and fight evil, expose scumbaggery and serve humanity.
Well, it is, you know.
And they're very valued.
Well, it is, but you know, I just don't agree with religions myself. But I wouldn't put John Lash in the Buddhist category. I think John is actually against all monotheistic religions, and he would be more of a Gnostic than anything. But
my bad.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, it's interesting. Most people don't follow the actual teachings of the doctrine. Most people just follow the lifestyle prescribed by the church, really. I mean, that's what you see with Christianity. Christianity is amazingly divided. I mean, even within Christianity itself, you've got all these different denominations, hundreds of different denominations, all who believe that their way is the only way. So what's that all about? I mean, I'm sure wasn't there supposed to just be about the teachings of Christ? Wasn't that what it was all about? What's all the rest? All the rest of it is really just noise, you know? So I think that's what people need to pay attention to. And I see very few people within any religious faith who actually follow the teachings of the teacher. You know, they really mostly just follow the church. And a lot of it's a cop-out as well. They believe they can just do all this stuff, and as long as they go and pray, it's all okay. They're going to be looked after, you know.
You know, I mean, if you're going to follow somebody, don't just follow them. Take the lead, you know, and do what they would have done. That's my perspective anyway. And I have a look at how I live my life what I do. And then you have a look at the teachings of Jesus Christ, and I'm kind of like right in line with them, even though I'm not a Christian, even though I haven't even read the Bible, you know. And it's just being a good cat, really, at the end of the day. What do you got to lose?
Well, it's like I say, service to creation. That's really the way to live your life. Service to creation, which is service to all. Service to all life. Service to all of reality, you know, but not at the expense of yourself. But again, don't serve yourself at the expense of others. You know, I don't put myself before other people, but I don't put them before me. I view myself as equal to everybody. And I respect myself. You know, I respect the fact that I've made mistakes. I respect, like I was saying earlier on, my life was a train wreck through my teenage years, and I had a terrible childhood. I went off the rails. I did all sorts of stuff. I mean, the kids do this stuff. You're stuck within the parameters of this psychopathic system whereby you've got to pay to be alive. The only way you can do that is to go and work for someone else or to exploit people around you. And if you don't make it work, well, you get discarded and thrown on the trash heap. So a lot of people go off the rails, they end up a train wreck, and I'm able to look at that and say, well, that's okay that I did that because it made me who I am, and I wasn't given an even playing field anyway. So it's what I did with that information. Did I go right down that path and become a sociopath or a psychopath or a killer or a rapist or a murderer or whatever? No, I didn't. I became who I am now, and I respect that. I respect that person. I respect who I am, and I respect the fact that I did make mistakes and I learnt by those mistakes. So you've got to have that respect for yourself. And when you do that and you really forgive yourself for what you've done and you forgive yourself of your mistakes and you realize that you never had an even playing field, then you can see that nobody has. And so it's easy to forgive other people and see why society is in the condition that it's in. Yeah, and there's your remedy right there. It's in respect. Respect for yourself. If you truly respect yourself and truly respect the mistakes you made, then respect for others comes by default. It really does. It's that simple to change your perspective inside. They always say if you change the inner world, you change the outer world. And it's true. You just have to apply yourself to it. And that's been the message of mine since like day one, 6 years ago when I started the show. Just change your perspective of reality and it'll change around you. You know?
Yeah, and what was funny is like I think we were having a private conversation once, Max, and you were talking about how you wanted to get your radio shows transcribed and turned into books, and then one day when you're not on this plane anymore, they'll turn into some great, you know, philosophical archive like the Max Egan Dead Sea Scrolls or something like that, that people will follow for generations to come, you know.
No, I never said that, but I think that, what I was saying is that when you die, when you're just doing what we do and you're speaking in a philosophical way, the way like I do on the show, when you are bringing a message that empowers humanity, and while you're alive, you're just a conspiracy theorist or a rebel or a whatever, you know, but when you die, your words become philosophy. And that's what I'd like to do. I'd like to put the book, the words down in a book so that it's there. So maybe if I do get reincarnated one time, well, I think I would naturally get attracted to those works and I'll be able to read that. And I've left all these breadcrumbs for people who come after me. I've left all these breadcrumbs for myself to find as well. It's like a trail of breadcrumbs to find out who you are. You know, I think that's a lot of what we're here for. It's to leave the breadcrumbs for those who come next. It's to leave a legacy behind. And that's what I hope that I've done is left that trail of breadcrumbs for those who follow, that will see that there are better ways and easier ways of doing things. And to not to be down on yourself and not to be thinking that, oh, I'm just a little guy and I've made all these mistakes. I'm just a mess up. I'm a screw up. I'll never be able to do anything right. No, no, no. You're beautiful. You're wonderful and you're capable of wonderful things. The problem is that you were never given an even playing field. So you've got to forgive yourself of what you've done. Realize that you are a creature that learns by making mistakes. That's what we are. We have this incredible ability to make lots and lots of mistakes. You know, we just keep making them, you know, but that's how we learn. Without the mistakes, we don't learn anything. We're always so frightened of making mistakes. We're also always so frightened of screwing up. But if we don't screw up, we don't learn anything. We don't learn the right way. So you've got to forgive yourself of this stuff. And you've got to realize that it's all about your perspective. Don't be hard on yourself. You know, change reality around you. Leave a good legacy behind and create a better future. That's what you're here to do. You know, you're here to help the human race discover itself. That's what we're all doing, and that's what I try to do. So that's what I'd like to see happen with my work. I'd like to write it all down in a book. I mean, there's a lot of people that don't listen to the radio, don't go online. It'd be good to put it all down in books and have this empowerment there for people because, I mean, I love people like you. I just want to see mankind wake up. I don't like the direction human consciousness is going. I can see the prison that's being built around us. We're being removed of all diversity, all creative input in our own lives. We're being molded into this machine-like society. That's where we're going. And I've got kids. I've got grandkids that'll happen. I've got, you know, there's going to be people that come after me that are going to have to experience this reality that's been created around them simply due to the non-participation of our generation. And I don't want to be one of them. I want to be someone who participated, who really tried to make a difference and who dedicated my life to making sure the world was left in a better state than how I found it. And I really think that's what it's about, and it provides me with the meaning I need, really, to be able to cope with this life. You know, if I didn't have some meaning in my life, if I was just out there working and collecting stuff, I just don't think I'd make it through. I don't think I'd make it through the machine. It's just too dysfunctional for me to want to participate in. And I think change can be brought about really easy if we just participate. Like you say, mate, a small group of people doesn't take much. Doesn't take very many people at all. Just takes the right people saying the right things in the right way, and it can create a wave that can take the planet by storm. It really can, and I think that's what's happening. I think it's an incredible time to be alive, man. It really is. Really, really pivotal time.
Yeah. And I remember my father, he built this table, and it was outside his thing, and when I sat down on this table, I bumped my knee on it because he didn't construct it exactly properly, so that when I sit down, being tall, I bump my knees on it, kind of hurt. And he told me, yeah, well, I just knocked it together in a couple of hours. You know, it's a big table. It's like, wow. And and then he told me about his son-in-law who was building a table himself. And he's 8 months into the construction. It is just like, you know what's better than, you know what's better than having a perfect table that never existed? A table right there that you can actually use, even if it ain't perfect. And it taught me this perspective of, hey, you know what? So many people stop themselves from actually accomplishing anything because they wait until they've got it perfect. And the fact of the matter is you can never, ever, 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 ever get anything finished if you want it to be perfect.
Well, but yeah, that's...
Don't even bother. Just do it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it depends on what you call perfect as well. I mean, your table works, so it's perfect, hey? The one that is still 8 months in construction is far from perfect because it's in pieces, no matter how good the pieces look, you know? So your table's far more perfect, brother.
Yeah. I'd rather have an imperfect something than a perfect nothing.
Well, mate. That's what we're getting with this world, mate. We're going to have a perfect nothing if we don't pay attention. Like I said, audience participation, that's what we need. People just got to get involved in themselves, get involved in their lives, and start respecting themselves. Don't give in to the fiction. Don't put up with all these authority figures telling you what you have to do with your life and the way things have to be, because they're just public trustees. They're all in breach of trust. Exhibit A, the earth. Have a look at the place and then tell me that these governments have not done the wrong thing. Now, we can fix that if we choose to participate. You know, if we've got the weight of numbers, we can do anything. I mean, look what they've just done in Egypt. Now, if there was some sort of an organized direction that they wanted to go with that, that's all they would really need to bring about effective change. We just need to, you know, figure out what direction we want to go in. And like I said, we need government, but we need transparency in government. So hopefully we can move to a system where we don't need government at all.
Exactly. It's about transitioning from scumbaggery to integrity, transitioning from blackness and darkness through to transparency. And you can do it one little step at a time, and it won't be perfect, but at least we'll have something to show for it. Max Egan, ladies and gentlemen, thecrowhouse.com. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you again sometime.